bring Christian greetings to you this morning in the name of our Heavenly Father. And in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of our Heavenly Father. And as we sang the song, Faith of Our Fathers, I was impressed again that all of us here today are part of that heritage of faith. And the heritage of faithful fathers. And so this morning, it doesn't matter who your earthly father is or was. Doesn't matter if he didn't teach you the way of truth. If you're a part of this heritage of faith, we all have together have this heritage of faithful fathers and a faithful Heavenly Father especially. A couple of months ago, we were going to a meeting place, and as my wife and I drove into the drive, I saw that the parking lot was very full. And up ahead, there were vehicles who were parking along the edge of the pavement, parking in the grass. And there were two brethren from that church there that I assumed were car parkers. But I kept watching the one man who was closest to the last vehicle that had pulled in, and he kind of stood there and sort of glanced at me, and he was just about standing where I should have been parking if I parked behind that vehicle. And he made no expression, no motion, no expression whatsoever to me. The other brother that was there headed around the other up toward the building, and I assumed I was supposed to follow him, and he just went in the back door of the church. And so I headed around the building until I found another space in the grass that I could park. And I thought about that scene, and I said to myself, you know what? That's a little bit the way dads are sometimes. They're there, but they're not giving any direction. And I guess this morning, as I think about Father's Day, as I thought about that scene, the comparison of fathers and their responsibilities and my responsibility came to my mind immediately. I'm not sure why. Other than the fact that it's the way this father is sometimes. We're there, but are we really there? And so, it's a reality that is a part of our lives as fathers. I'm starting out on sort of a negative note, and we'll go to more positive things, but sometimes it's the way it is. We're home, but we're not home. It's like the illustration of the railroad crossing on the road. The railroad bars are down, the lights are flashing, and there's no train coming. The connections just aren't there sometimes. We're at home, but we're really not with it. We're not there. We're not aware of what's happening. And so I titled the message this morning, Fathers Living in the Present. I'd like to just think this morning about our responsibilities as fathers and what needs to happen if we as fathers are taking our roles seriously and we are doing our best as fathers of our families. As men, we zero in on the task at hand, which may be something that's at work, and we tune out of present reality. We become preoccupied with our own interests and thoughts to the point that, you know, our wives can passionately share their frustrations about their day while we were gone. It might even include our children. And yet when she's done talking, we look up and say, what did you say? We're preoccupied with our own thoughts. Fathers living in the present. I'm confident this morning that I'm talking to fathers that are serious about their calling. I really believe that today. And as I thought about that, and so think about our church family here and many young fathers that are here, and I guess I would have to say that I don't know if it makes a difference if we're a young father, a middle-aged father, an older father. I don't know where all those lines and differentiations are. But you know, there's a sense in which we're in this together and we never feel like we've accomplished it. We're just always learning. We always need the reminders. In fact, the particular emphasis of the title, I'm not so sure that as older fathers that we're maybe more preoccupied sometimes. We have more and added responsibilities. And so the need to live in the present is ever before us. But as fathers today, we want that. We want to do our best. And we're serious about our calling. And so as fathers today, I guess, that are here today, we have sort of a range of responsibilities. Whether you're a father-to-be, a father with your first child, or a father that is also a grandpa, we represent a broad range of responsibilities and stages of family life. And so our tasks and degree of responsibility varies. But our mandate from heaven and our commitment and desire to fulfill that mandate shouldn't have a very broad range. In other words, together we should take this call seriously, this mandate from heaven seriously, and we together have the same goal and the same vision for our families. Our sense of the enormity of this mandate may increase with time and responsibility, but we should be unified in our zeal to follow God and to be godly fathers. And I'd just like to emphasize the blessing that we have today. You think about a subject that relates to home life and marriage and God's order, and just think a little bit about how far our society is moving away from that. Now, I'm just thankful this morning to speak to brothers that we have the same interests and the same goals. And we're unified in our belief of the guy, we're settled in what the Word teaches about home life and our realm of responsibility. I also believe this morning that I probably won't share anything new. And I want to, as fathers today, and as mothers, and even as children, wherever you fit into your relationship with a father and the roles of a father, basically we know the rules, don't we? We know the rules. We know what it takes. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says, I'm putting it in my own words, fathers, love your wives. Love your children's mother. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We know the rules. We know what the Bible says. We know the right answers. But sometimes it's just taking that and putting it into practice and putting it into our everyday life's experiences. That can be a challenge. Sometimes also, it's just encouraging to be reassured that we're doing the right thing. I think that whenever we're facing a challenge in life, and maybe in home life, and as a father, and just to be able to sit down with another father and visit on a Sunday evening and talk about some of these challenges, and I must admit, brethren, that some of my greatest inspiration has come when we've sat and I've visited and shared with other fathers, and we're both striving for the same thing. And we talk about how we're doing it and what we've done to fulfill this mandate in our own families, and we share and we're encouraged. And so I want this message this morning to be that for you as well, that we could just maybe just reassure us that, and reassure you that your goals are correct. Sometimes we buy a product or we buy an item that needs assembled, and you open up the instructions and there's 10 put-it-together-yourself instructions. And when you're all finished, you've got it. It's there. It's all assembled. It's just the way you thought it was going to be. But fathering is not like a 10-step do-it-yourself project, that if you follow each step correctly, guess what you'll have? You'll have a child that's just perfect. It doesn't work that way. It's not that way. Someone has said that if my children turn out right, it was in spite of me, not because of me. And I guess that could be tagged as a cop-out statement. But it's so true that we this morning, every one of us as fathers, we need the blessing of God. We need His input. We need His blessing on our homes. We need His blessing in our marriages. We need His blessing on our work as fathers. Because we have a human nature. We have faults. We have shortcomings. And so when you believe that, when you share that statement in humility and not carelessness, it's very, very true. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Sorrow is the result of sin in our own humanity. And the blessing that God gives, that God showers upon us, is that which encourages and strengthens the work that fathers do. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. God's blessing always enhances and influences for the right in spite of our shortcomings. Now, there's all kinds of cards you can get nowadays. You can buy a card for every occasion. You can buy a card that's suitable for whatever your relationship is with a father. And there's all, mottos that you can buy. And there's so many of these fanciful sayings around that just make fatherhood just look like a glorious thing. And it's wonderful. It's a great life. The quality of a father can be seen in the goals, dreams, and aspirations he sets, not only for himself, but for his family. Another one is, "Dad, your guiding hand on my shoulder will remain with me forever." A man's children and his garden both reflect the amount of weeding done during the growing season. The imprint of the father remains forever on the life of the child. The father who does not teach his son his duties is equally guilty with the son who neglects them. A man never stands as tall as when he kneels to help a child. A father is a fellow who has replaced the currency in his wallet with the snapshots of his children and family. And someone also said this, that there should be a children's song. If you're happy and you know it, keep it to yourself and let your dad sleep. All kinds of sayings that are out there. And many of them represent a great degree of truth. They really do. We need to be fathers that take those challenges, not just as a fanciful thing on a card. I looked this morning above my desk. It was not long before it was time to go to church. And I didn't weave these points into the message this morning. But it's a nice little motto that my family gave me one year. And it said that it's a poem that's entitled "Dad's Tools of the Trade." You know, we have the tools. We have those there on our wall. I have to admit that it's some really good things, some good advice, and I haven't looked at that motto for a long time and really actually read it. And so we have these around us, but do we put them to practice in our everyday life? God's heart this morning is for happy, godly families. And I want to just notice some verses. I want you to, you don't have to turn to these verses. We do want to read a few verses in Psalm 127 and 128. But I want you to this morning to be impressed with God's attitude, God's interest, God's design of home life and family life, and God's direction as a role of a father and what that should be, and the picture that God gives in the scripture. There are many of them that we could look at, but Psalm 103 and verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Proverbs 3 and verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The son in whom he delighteth. Think about these words. Proverbs 4 and verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Those verses give expression of and give us a picture of something beautiful, something that's wonderful. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The son in whom he loves, the son in whom he cares for, the son in whom he cares about. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved. In Psalm 127, in verse, just reading, pulling out a few thoughts there, he says here that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And it's vain to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It's giving a picture there that home life is a place of rest. And that in contrast and in comparison to allowing the cares of this life to overly dictate our schedules. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. It's a completely different picture than what the world portrays today. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. And so, God in the scriptures, God paints for us a picture of rest. He paints for us a picture of desire for a godly and happy home life. That is God's heart, and that's precious today. Now, just shifting our thinking just a little bit to the end of the Old Testament. Between the Old and the New Testament, we have a period of about 400 years. And in the last book of the Old Testament, God there shares some words, some thoughts that talk about the Messiah, talk about the promise. And the last verse of the Old Testament says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And maybe there's a lot that we can read into those verses. But I believe this morning that we can't help but see here that God's heart again. And that as he was silent, as he was silent in his direct instructions to men through writings and through direct prophets, for that period of 400 years, this was one of the things that God, one of the subjects that God wanted to instill on his people. That I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. A relationship that sustains humanity, that sustains society, and sustains the church. And without this relationship, and without this fact, godliness would wane and godliness would drift. The Jewish people during the time of these 400 years were largely, as Romans 10 says, establishing their own righteousness. It was a time when the Jewish religion was alive and well, but in rather than following the scriptures and the old commandments of the Old Testament, they were establishing their own righteousness. We know that the light was not completely extinguished. Zacharias and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary and Simeon and Anna, among probably many others, demonstrated that there were those that were living for God and were close to Him. And so as God closed the Old Testament, it was one of His highlights that there would be renewed family life. Matthew 4 talks about this as well. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In Luke chapter 1, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that was part of John the Baptist's work as well. And so God is interested in godly fathers. He is interested in how we go about our work and how we accept the calling that He has for us. Fathers, you have a mandate from heaven. God has called you to a work, a mission, a ministry which surpasses all other calls to duty. I'd like you to notice a verse. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, in our recent calling, we've had people that quoted this verse to us. And I remember back here on the porch the other week, I still remember particularly a few people that quoted this verse. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The other day at mission board meeting, a brother read a couple of these verses. I'm not sure if he read this verse, but I had glanced down. He read verse 16, 17, and 18, I believe. And I glanced down and I saw this verse here. And I had a wonder this morning. I decided not to ask, but I wondered if you knew where this verse was found in Scripture. It's a familiar saying, and I wondered if maybe I would have even thought it's related to ministerial charges and qualifications for leaders. But this verse, this statement, is brought out in 2 Thessalonians with, among other sundry statements. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, abstain from all appearance of evil. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. And it comes after Paul here says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he. And so this morning, as fathers, I want you to be impressed with the calling that God has in your life and the fact that He will be faithful to assist you in this calling. God will enable you to fulfill this call to His satisfaction. Abraham saw to it that his household knew the truth, and he shone the light on that truth. I had a wonder the other evening in class. We talked a little bit about Ishmael. And I thought about the verse where it says God said, I know that Abraham will command his children and his household after me. And I wondered about those from his household that didn't follow in the faith that he had believed in. And the variation of that. But could we say that Abraham saw to it that his household knew the truth, And he's shown the light on that truth. He's shown the way that they should go. He's shown the way that they should take. So as fathers, we need to do that. Thinking a little bit about the roles of a father, just to mention a few of them. But we need to care, a father needs to care for his marriage and be a protector of his wife. He needs to be the spiritual leader in the home, a financial provider, the lead decision maker. He needs to attend to outside of home responsibilities. And I simply mean by that that probably every father that's here has outside the home responsibilities, whether it's the janitor at church, whether it's, and the list goes on. That helps you to know what I'm thinking. There are outside of the home responsibilities that take his time and attention. And a father has among his role to be the spiritual leader and protector of his family, he has many, many responsibilities. I'd like to just notice now about six different points to help us to live in the present. Number one, as fathers, our families must be number one priority to us. Now, I know that you can argue with that statement. You can say, well, God needs to be number one priority. The church needs to be number one priority. And we use that number one distinction for several different things at times. And so I'm not teaching or promoting that family comes ahead of everything else in life. There are times when the call of the church comes. There are times that needs to be put ahead of family life sometimes. But in all of our responsibilities, family still needs to be given high priority. Is your family of great importance to you? Does your family know that you care about them? Do you think that Job's children knew that he cared about their spiritual life? When they went down and had that gathering of the brothers and sisters, had a picnic, and Job prayed for them, do you think that would have surprised his children when they knew that Job had special prayer for them? Jesus said that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. How do we balance life? How do we balance home life and church life and the responsibilities that we may have? How do we balance that? Family, our families must be of high priority to us. And our families will know it. And I'd simply like to say that when our children know that they are of high priority to us, God's blessing can rest upon our family and upon our work and upon the various duties that we have and responsibilities. And God's blessing can be there when we can't be there at times. God's blessing can be there. Secondly, a father's influence is inevitable. This morning, as fathers, And I have an idea that all of us, as men, as fathers, are not able to calculate our influence and how far-reaching that is. The law of reproduction that God established at creation was that life, that created life brought seed after its own kind. And strictly in a natural sense, we know that oftentimes we look at a child and we say, wow, he's got to be part of that family. He can't hide it. It's just the way it is. It's the way God made it. We know they're a part of that family because they look like one of the parents. And this look-alike resemblance may be physical features. Sometimes you might see someone and you say, well, he looks right like his dad. You might see someone that looks like his dad and you say, oh, I don't believe he acts like his dad, though. But he looks so much like him. And so this look-alike resemblance may be physical features, it may be mannerisms, it may be voice resemblance, it may be emotional or personality similarities, etc. And I don't know the answer to this question, but the question I have is how much of that is all just genetic and how much is influence? How much is post-birth influence? I wonder if sometimes there's more, there's so much more influence that is transmitted from us as fathers to our families than what we ever imagine or realize. And so our influence is inevitable. It behooves us to be godly examples of faith, stability, etc. There was a study that was done once in taking what the results of their study. The study found that as they surveyed lots and lots of men, of children, and looked at who their fathers were, and they took homes where there was a father at home, the marriage was according to the way God intended it to be. And they compared that to homes that had children that had no father or children that had live-in fathers and all of that. And they came up with these statistics. That the homes where the children that had fathers that were there were their own fathers, those children were less likely to live in poverty. They did better in school. They were less likely to do jail time, less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, less likely to be impure during teen years, less likely to be obese, more likely to be encouraged to take healthy risks in life, and a few others that I believe I don't have written down. And it's just simply a father's influence. A good, solid father is an influence that we can hardly imagine. A father's ability to impress and impact truth in the heart goes beyond that of a school teacher and a minister. And so that influence is tremendous as we think about how that affects the lives of our children. And I like to just continue that thought and say that, but silent influence isn't enough. Thirdly, fathers must be instructors. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Proverbs 4 and verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding." We need to give instruction. Proverbs chapter 6, let's turn to Proverbs 6. I'd like to read a few verses there. I want you to think about the importance of instruction, the instruction you give as a father. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not," pardon me, "the law of thy mother." Notice this, "bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck." Now, he's telling the son that he needs to keep these commandments, he needs to bind them and tie them about thy neck. And so, do we as fathers give enough of instruction that our children even see it as worthwhile to bind them and to keep them and to tie them about our neck? "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." This morning, we don't need statistics out there to prove of the influence of a father. We have it here in Proverbs. He says here that it's going to go with him. We don't need the sayings of a Father's Day card to convince us of the influence. It's right here. "When thou sleepest," or "when thou goest," it's going to lead him. It's going to lead your children. "When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee." It brings security. "And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And then he goes on to talk about the issue of purity and reserve that a young man needs to have in relation to women. The commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Now, the Hebrew definition of the word instruction that we have here, notice this means this. It means chastisement. It means reproof. It means warning or instruction and restraint. Now, as I was reading, looking into this, and as we read Proverbs and we have this direction to give our sons instruction, to give them direction, somehow I as a father like to picture sitting down and just giving a lot of nice positive instruction and direction. But when the proverb writer was saying, fathers, you need to give your sons instruction, he's talking about chastisement, reproof, warning, and restraint. And I want you to, it just left an impression on me that as a father, you are authorized by God to instruct your family. Your instruction must have authority. And its instruction is teaching that requires obedience. And we need to teach by giving the truth. We need to teach our children by showing them the way of truth, by teaching them the light of truth and the light of the gospel. But we confirm this truth as fathers by correcting when they sidestep from that truth. So much of our teaching, so much of our instruction, and so much of our direction, unfortunately, children and youth, is that, as it comes from parents, is by way of confirming that truth by saying, no, we're not going there. I don't want you to do this. We're not going to buy that car. We're not going to buy that dress material. It's the way it is. So much of it is, it seems that we're negative. And we're just saying no. And he says that's what instruction is. It's pointing out the error of the wrong. But we also need to teach the light of the gospel, the light of truth. God help us to have a balance in that and find our way. We confirm the truth by correcting and reproving actions that are contrary to the truth. And our children need that direction. They need that light of the gospel. Fourthly, what can a father do to live in the present? He needs to share in household responsibilities. And I'm not going to say a lot about that, but fathers, men today, let's not have this inflated ego about our position and our calling. You know what? You're not too good, you're not too big, you're not too strong to do anything at home. You have the ability to help your wife with almost every task. I know we can't do it very well sometimes. There's things that they can do so much better. But the gardening, and every home needs to define their own responsibilities. And every home does it different. Every couple does it different. I talked to a man here. I was actually at the hardware store in Myerstown several months ago. And I was looking for something something for the garden, I guess. And the man that was helping me there, he was started talking about what his wife does in her garden. And I thought, I don't believe he knows very much about the garden at his house. It's his wife's project, and if that's the way they do it, that's fine. But just remember that you're not too good and too big to help with any of that. Changing diapers, washing the kitchen floor, it's all a part of the work that you need to be ready and willing to help with. Share in household duties. Number five, and I don't have these in any order of importance whatsoever. Fathers, we need to be spiritual men. And I know you know this, but we need to lead by example. We need to teach truth to our children. And I guess as I thought about how we do this and how I do this, is there any... Okay, as fathers, we can, as it relates to the instruction of the Word and the gospel message and the truth of the Word, how do you go about teaching that to your children? If you don't have family worship, when are you going to do it? And I thought about my own life, and other than reading the scriptures, when do I sit down with the Bible and explain it, other than that? And so if we don't have family worship, when will you ever get it done? I thought recently about, my mind went to a brother that shared just recently how that he had heard a message and he hadn't heard that for a long time. It was just what his family needed. And I'm probably being way too critical, but fathers, if the preachers aren't preaching it, you need to do it. Okay? Is that saying too much? What Brother Darvin shared with us last week in relation to non-resistance and living a life that's acceptable to God before the world, and all that goes along with teaching our sons and helping them to have conviction for the way of non-resistance. You know, whose responsibility is it? We go home and we say, that was just a good message. That's just what we needed. But whose responsibility is it? As fathers, it's ours. It's ours. And I'm not here making an excuse for the ministers that we don't have to preach all the doctrine and be thorough. But it's really true, fathers. If our sons don't get it, whose fault is it? If they didn't learn it, whose fault is it? Is it the school teacher's fault? Is it Pilgrim Bible School teacher's fault? It's your fault. And you need to see that we need to see that our children are learning the truth of the Word, learning Bible doctrine. Where are your spiritual interests? What are your interests in life? I believe this morning that as a church, we are responsible, as leaders, we're responsible to give guidelines and directions that help fathers to be fathers and to live in the present. And I like to say that I believe that Pilgrim Conference has endeavored to do that. We've given direction to, I'm just going to share some things that I believe contribute to that. We've given direction in the past to how many nights a week a father should be away from home. Whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a businessman, whatever your role is, we've treated everyone the same. We've given direction to the CB radio, which I think was a way of giving some direction to long-distance truck driving. We give direction to those things. We try to teach against dads going away on hunting trips. Why do we do that? Is it because, well, if you do that, you're going to spend too much money that ought to go to the Honduras mission? You're going to spend too much money for other things? Well, that may be a part of it, but we want dads to be home. There are so many things that can grab our attention. And there are things that are captivating. And in the world today, it's sports and it's hunting and it's, the list goes on of things that grab the attention of fathers. And as a church, we say some of those things might be okay in their place and in a limited way. But we say, dads, you need to be at home. Don't allow your focus to distract you from your responsibilities. In 1 John chapter 2, we had these verses in our Sunday school lesson the other week. But he says, I write unto you fathers, I want you to think about this, I write unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children. The next verse, I have written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And the question I have is, fathers, do we know him? Do we know him? Do we love the Lord? Are we spiritual fathers and spiritual leaders in our home? And last of all, As fathers, we need to recognize the consequences of failure. And I want to say here this morning that every person, every child has a choice to make. And as it was in the scriptures, whether it was Samuel, whether it was Abraham, not all those people that they influenced and that they even fathered took the way that they believed in. And so children have to make their own choices. And I'm not even suggesting this morning that I believe that if a child is wayward, it's a direct link to a wayward father. I'm not saying that. But having said that, fathers, we must recognize the consequences of failure. And how serious that is as we think about our influence. And if we're not living right, if we're not teaching the truth, if we're not spiritual fathers, if we're not those who are interested that they grow up to be a part of God's kingdom and serving in the kingdom of God, the problem is that too many fathers today, their main interest is out there. Their main interest is the farm. Their main interest is their business. And guess what? Their children's hearts are there. And they don't know how to be spiritual fathers and leaders. And they are not recognizing the consequences of failure. And so this morning, let's be fathers who are living in the present, living in the reality of our own calling, our own responsibilities. And I'd like to close by again reminding us that we, as God's children, have a Heavenly Father who is over all. He knows all things. And if there are circumstances that are beyond your control that took a father out of your home, God's blessing is upon you. And Psalm 68 and verse 5 says that He is a father of the fatherless. And a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. And the word judge there is not from the standpoint that He's meting out cruelty or judgment for sin. That word there means that He's overseeing it. And He sees your life. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. And so this morning we serve a God. We serve a Heavenly Father who is perfect as a father. He has a perfect heart. He has perfect interests and goals. And we certainly do well as fathers to continue to live for Him, to study His Word, and to give our all for our families. May God bless each of you. Let's kneel for prayer.